the fastest, quickest, smoothest footwork. He is the Fred Astaire of jiu-jitsu, the Fred Astaire of judo, but he's the Dom DeLuise of pizza eating. I don't get it. I don't get this.
Everybody wake up.
Time to wake up. Time to start the day. Wake up late with Dougie. He is the only
wake
way.
Wake up late. Now everybody. Wake up late. Everybody. Wake up late. Wake up late.
Wake up.
Wake up late with Dougie. Wake up late with Dougie. Wake up late with Dougie.
It's time to wake up.
Wake up late with Dougie. What rhymes with Dougie? He's just so funny.
It's the Wake Up Late with Dougie show. Live from Danger Studios. Coral Springs and now you know.
We're the hottest show in the place.
Wake up late now everybody.
Wake up late
now everybody.
Wake up late
now everybody.
I said 1, 2, 3. Everybody wake up.
Live from Danger Studios in Coral Springs, Florida. It's the Wake Up Late with Dougie show. Starring Dougie Almeida. Now. Let's start the show.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to another edition of the Wake Up Late with Dougie show. I'm Dougie Almeida. It's Danger Studios in South Florida for now. I'm your host, Dougie Almeida, and this is a comedy podcast where I bring in, through the magic of Zoom, talent and humor and escapades all for you. Our first guest today is Mr. Brian Glowacki.
What up?
And Jimmy Delavalle.
Hey, how you doing?
What's up, everybody? How you guys doing?
Good.
I don't know if I'm doing it on purpose, but I'm mostly, every time we have guests on the show, there's one from the West Coast and one from the East Coast. Is that like a rapper thing you think I'm trying to get into? I'm trying to show my...
I mean, if you want me to fucking take this guy out, I will.
Well, you guys, that would be a wrestling match. Both of you guys are pretty big dudes. This is
Boston, and I'm Yankees, I would assume.
Yeah,
I knew as soon as I heard your voice, I was like, "That's a Yankees fan voice right there."
Can you tell?
Throw the bull! Throw the bull!
Usually when we meet our guest, and if I know my guest, I share recent experiences with my guest, and I might as well start with you, Brian, because I mentioned it before on the pre-show when Jimmy was here and listening, and it was great because I am not a dirty comic. I am not a I'm not. Mm-hmm. And Jimmy, we're in the green room of the Orlando Improv, and Brian was so nice enough to allow me to be on the show at the Orlando Improv, and he packs the room when he's there, so it's awesome. And he says, "Okay, everybody, Dougie, do me a favor. I think my family's here tonight. My preacher, my fourth grade English teacher. If you don't mind, please don't use the F-bomb, whatever. I'm not telling you what to just if."
Said go easy on the F-bomb. I didn't even say don't say it. I said just go easy on the F-bombs.
Well, for some reason I heard don't, just avoid the F-bombs. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if I was like maybe 30 seconds, 40 seconds. But I ended up hitting a joke, and you got to admit the joke hit real hard. And it was a big fuck in there. And I think after that point, they started coming out like arrows from the quiver of an elven. And
and the crowd was like 300. Remember when the arrows are, there was 1,000 F bombs in a span of 17 minutes. I mean, and I was like, he was killing. And I don't care, dude, I'll never tell somebody what they can say. I was just like, maybe go easy on it, and oh my god, I mean, he did great, so what am I gonna say? But I was like, was that going easy on the F-bombs? So I have to get him back at some point.
It's funny because I know what you're talking about, because sometimes and there's something about it, I guess it's an East Coast or whatever it is, because I mean, he is from Queens, but Florida, it's still East Coast, if you guys consider that, East Coast. But there's something about, like, if somebody hangs with me, they become this, like, chameleon. So I've got some kid working with me on the road. The first week, everything's good. And then the second week he's going, so I'm fucking this and I'm fucking that. And he's like some Mexican and he keeps saying fucking this, fucking that. And my fucking wife, I'm going, so, you know, after I'm going, what was that? So, oh man, I did great. I go, dude, you're trying to be me. Yeah. And you're, I go, there's a difference. You're fucking is strong. Like I was doing the Pechanga Casino and this kid's this Latino kid and he's going, a fucking, and I go, it's so strong. When I say it, it's like, fucking, like I say it fast.
Yeah.
Like you, it doesn't, you, some people will go, oh, I didn't even hear you swear. And I'm like, it's just my attitude. It's the way I do things. Right. But if someone that doesn't normally swear, and it's not that Dougie doesn't swear in real life, but you're gonna oh my God, another one. Because I know what it's like to watch a feature or a guest set and go, what the fuck is going on?
Yeah.
Like, you know, why are you, if you're doing 10 or 12 or they're doing 5 and you go, you swore 45 times.
Yeah.
In your 12 seconds.
Yep.
You know, so that's what it must have been for poor Brian to go, well, he's doing well, but he doesn't realize that he just keeps swearing.
You know what I did? I go, because I was like, you know, Dougie and I are buddies, but I was like, did I upset him by saying don't do that? So he's gonna show you.
Yeah, rebel. You don't tell me.
Fucking Brian's not gonna tell me what the fuck I do in my own state.
Jimmy, it was an I'll show you amount of
basketball. Oh yeah. I know, man. I've sat there so many times and watched the guys, and then you know.
Let me ask you, in all professional opinion, is there ever like a moment where you know that you shouldn't do something? Almost in a completely different realm. Let's say you're hosting, and you know, like I know I'm announcing you, Jimmy. You know, and all of a sudden, when I'm about to, oh, it's my good friend, and all of a sudden you draw a blank because you're so confident, you think you know everything, but all of a sudden, you know, the performance fucking gremlins get all of you, like, yeah, we're gonna fuck with this little. You know what I mean? Forget the name. You know, and you're sitting there like a dope. Sometimes, I think psychologically that's what happened in the green room. You know, Brian Gawacki's sitting there going, "Look," and I'm like, "Don't worry about it. I got it."
Right. We're all buddies, so it's not like it was some, like, I'm nobody. So if it was like, you know, somebody that was worth a shit that was like, "Hey, don't say this."
Yeah,
but we're all buddies in the green room. We're just talking shit to each other anyway. So I was like, maybe.
Well, you know, listen, we're all friends, and there are times where you didn't do anything wrong, and a big so-called big headliner comes in the green room and starts yelling at you like you're their stepchild, you know, and they're claiming you didn't, when you weren't supposed to tell any political jokes, and you're like, you never told me not to tell any political jokes. I had a conversation with somebody recently that some of the openers, and this has been known, sometimes there's certain headliners that don't really want a strong opener necessarily. They want somebody that, like, kind of like vanilla, like just go out there and get the pace going. What do you guys, you care?
I'll let Jimmy go because he's been doing this longer than I have.
So a perfect example. One of my really good friends is Al Del Benny. You know who Al Del Benny?
Know the name.
Brian, he's a legend out of Boston. He lives in, if you ever heard of Al and the Monkees, it was Dane Cook.
Oh, yeah.
It was Bobby Kelly, you know, that right? Yeah. So, but he's a great stand-up. And he would destroy in front of Dane Cook, as well as Bobby Kelly would, right? And they had this place called Dublin's out here, which was ran by Jay Davis. And Ahmed Ahmed, I think, ran it too, Dougie.
Yeah.
And what happened was Dane Cook would murder the stage anywhere he went, pretty much. So my really good friend's Nick Swartzen. So Nick Swartzen was, he just killed, like, it was a standing ovation. And I'm going, there's no way fucking Dane Cook can follow this. And Dane Cook just went up and, you know, and that's when Dane was like becoming the king. You know what I mean? At that point. But we were just doing this little show. And I'm sure Ahmed, it's so funny that he was going to be on. I was going to mention that. And he was like, and Dane goes, woo, woo, woo. And he's like almost like getting the audience to do a wave after Nick just annihilated the room. Like, it was insane. And he did it for 2 minutes. And they kind of were laughing and just at the, whatever the fuck it was. And he goes, anyways, and he just went into his act. And I was like, they forgot about Nick.
Yeah.
I had never seen anything like that, because now another thing is a Patrice O'Neill story. We're doing Caroline's. I'm opening. Patrice is featuring. Janine Garofalo's closing. And I watch Patrice and I go, why don't you just bury her? Just fucking bury. He goes, because then we don't work here anymore, stupid. And I go, he goes, you think they came to see us? I mean, this is before Patrice was, you know, where Patrice got to. Right. Before Elephant in the Room. But, I mean, it still was great. But Patrice could have buried her. But he goes, then we don't work here anymore. He goes, we work here every week. And I go, wow. So, like, a lot of those lessons, you know, Keith Robinson, those guys, I learned a lot of lessons from those guys. You know, Rich Voss is, you know, Rich is a good buddy. And Rich is, like, a very professional comic. He's like a good boy. You know what I mean? Like, but on stage, he does whatever the fuck he wants.
The Voss you're talking about is V-O-S-S? Is he talking about a different guy, Brent?
No. Well, if you guys really know Rich, I mean, he's a good person. He's a good friend. Yeah. He's a good dad, a husband. Yeah. You know what I mean? All that stuff. Yeah. But you've got these are the guys like I come up with in New York City, and I would sit there and I'd learn these things. Then you'd see the guys that go off the handle. And then you go, and then you see him not working the club no more. And you're going, you know, because, you know, we would do 20 to 30 sets a week every week. Every fucking week. So, like, when I did Boston, I did Vault. I did all that shit, all the Dick Doherty's and went up into New Hampshire and the Comedy Connection in Maine, you know. And that's what you guys had. But you guys had Nick's. Is Nick still around?
Yeah. As much as anything else is still around.
But you know what I mean? So to learn from those guys was a big deal for me because, you know, I'm 48. I started at 19 years old. You know what I mean?
Oh, wow.
So to come up with those guys was a big deal. And when I moved to L.A., they're like, oh, you'll be back. And it was like, but luckily I booked a ton of acting work and shit, and that's why I stayed, you know? Right. But that's what happened. So I don't want you to bomb. I want you to kill. I want you to kill in front of me, because that's what.
You remember, that's a show, man. That's a show, dude. That's what it's supposed to be. You know, it's got to be at that level.
Do you know Gary Cowett?
No.
Gary Cowett is a phenomenal comic out of Boston. He lives like in Vegas.
Oh wow!
And his brother Steve is another great comic, an impression genius, or brother or cousin? No, I think his brother. And we were in Vegas, and I was headlining in Vegas. And I do the Dirty at 12:30. If you know the show, the Dirt, right? Amazing show. So I've done it, you know, a million times. And I go and I see Brian Scalaro, who's a great comic. You know Brian?
Yeah.
You know, we all came up together. And Gary Cowett is just murdering in front of him. I mean, murdering. At the LA Comedy Club, and he's a headliner. He just took a feature spot because he's in town.
Yeah,
he just took the dude. Brian is fucking sitting across from me at the booth, going, "What the fuck?" He's like, "What the fuck, man?" He's like, "What?" He's like, "What? Why does this guy kill? Why is he killing in front of me?" He was so mad that, and I go, and he goes up to Gary. And Gary, and he goes, hey, man, you're not going to fucking work here when I'm here, man. And Gary goes, you're the headline. You should be able to follow me. And he walks away and he smirks at me. Like, Gary smirks. And I go, and Brian goes, fuck him. I'm going to get him fired. I said, dude, you are the headline. You're supposed to be able to follow him.
Right.
Yeah. Well, what happened?
And you know, listen, Brian kills. It's not that Brian's not a great comic.
Yeah, I mean, listen, it's one thing. Listen, our personality and what builds up to our angst. You know, I always feel that as a performer, anything you're dealing with before you go on stage, unless you're sticking somebody in the neck with a pin, you know, should be acceptable. You know, everybody's got a mood or, you know, listen. But I don't respect as an opening act, you know, I've had comics headliners say, hey, everything I've heard, do less time. you know, don't do that bit.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? You know, I've been accused of, you know, doing crowd work, but that's part of who I am. Sometimes I mess with the crowd and I have bits for it, you know? So, hey, don't do any crowd work. I'm like, well, why don't you tag it? Every great comic I've ever worked with when I did crowd work has tagged my crowd work and crushed that crowd work. You know what I mean? I got to go, wow. You know what I mean? It was like a complete, it was like a crescendo. Like, you know what I mean? Everything works. And there's that is the word. That's what the word headliner means. That is a great component of what a head. You got people that say, I got 30 minutes, I can headline. No. Headliner means you could be in any situation, right? Somebody go up and crush before you and bay, you know what? Oof, and go out there and do your thing. You know?
Exactly. That's the problem with the comedians now. So let's say that they've all learned how to do comedy from YouTube, right? So new comics, how long are you doing comedy, Brian?
10 years.
So you're doing it 10 years, right? So YouTube was still there for you to kind of look and like, so one thing I'll do with like a comic, a newer comic, if I see him and just he kills and I go, oh, you like Bill Burr, don't you? Yeah, man, he's my favorite. Cause I see Bill Burr
right
in the guy's style.
Right.
You know what I mean? So it's, and once you come into your own originalness, nobody can take that away. Nobody can follow. They can't follow what you do, and you can follow, you can connect with an audience.
Great point.
You know, I was on a ship and I did, I bet you 15 minutes of gay jokes. And they just hit one after another, just original shit that I had. And this one black comic who's really funny, he was doing the later show and I went to his show and he did one. And the lady was offended. He got in trouble for doing it. And he said to me, what the fuck, you did 15 minutes on gay people and I get in trouble for one joke? And he goes, and I never do. He goes, I never do it. I saw you do it. So I was like, oh, let me try them. And I go, because it's me, bro. I get away with saying whatever I want.
He got nunchucked, dude. He got nunchucked. You know what that means? You know, when somebody sees your nunchucks and they go, oh, I've used to use these.
Yeah.
Spin them, and they clawed themselves in the
fucking hit themselves in the head.
Hit your mom's Yardra. Yeah, I remember some kid did that with my mom in the house. I was a kid. You used to make the nunchucks out of like table ends, you know what I mean? You just make them, put a chain. And this one kid was messing around. My mom had Yadras, which are those porcelain statues.
Yeah.
And she had them one on the table. She was cleaning. The fucking idiot hit it. It's like $800.
Oh, God, dude.
see, this is great. This is the comedy aspect in the opening part of the show. We did have some topics, by the way, fellas. And, you know, I don't know if you guys saw in the news, this Netflix, you know, is getting some heat for their the cuties thing. Now, I didn't want to watch it because with my luck, somebody be watching while I'm watching it. But you know what I mean? Did either one of you guys see this piece of film?
I saw the trailer for it and that was all I needed to see. I have a brand new baby daughter in this house and
congratulations.
Yeah, buddy.
I don't know if it's mine. she's too cute. But the trailer, like for the same documentary that aired in Europe, doesn't make it look like an advertisement for pedophiles. It's something about this country, man. They're trying to soften up they're trying to be like, it's not that bad. So when that list comes out, we're like, hey, what are you gonna do? They're cuties. What are you supposed to say? Mm-hmm. You know, I can't watch that shit, dude. I'm all set.
So, in a sense, what you're saying is this is the number. This is the thing that precludes, you know, comes out and that kind of softens it up a little bit. The fluffer.
You know how they say kids like play Call of Duty and then desensitizes them to like shooting up the school.
Right.
That's why I feel like this has been like, well, what are you supposed to do? Look how cute they are. You know, it's trying to like pull us down a little bit.
Yeah. There you go.
Yeah, that's a great point of view.
Well, you're in Hollywood, dude. You're in LA. You're in the acting business. You know, it's around. It's good. You know, you can even know somebody and be sworn to secrecy, for God's sakes. By the way, we haven't even heard anything from Maxwell, right? This lady, we haven't, there's a, has she been moved around? Is, you know, she's, has she just been hushed? I mean, is she talking with people? Are the power, the people who hold the scepters, are they sitting there talking to her now and going to figure out what's going to happen or wait until the end of the election until a new rule of law hits?
Well, I mean, you used to bounce there, right? In Florida. Didn't you go over the bridge there? You were the bouncer for Ghislaine and Epstein? Is that pretty much your first job? Yeah. Yeah, dude. I mean, think of how crazy this is. This is a cell phone, right? I went to grab my water. I'm like, oh, the cell phone's right here. We've got all this technology. She couldn't be found because she put her phone in aluminum foil. That's why they couldn't find her. It's like all this shit we got, and she's hiding out with aluminum foil on her phones.
And a beautiful home, by the way.
So, yeah. So, anyways, how crazy is that? So, I don't know, dude. I can only watch a little bit of the Epstein. I watched the first thing. I watched something on it. But then when it came to Netflix, I was watching it. And then I feel dirty watching it, like if my wife's not watching it with me, almost like, this is.
Yeah, you don't want to be watching that and somebody walk in, you know what I mean? And you're like, oh.
Yeah. I mean, we're comedians, right? We're comedians. So we joke, a girl posts something on Facebook and she's like got her titties hanging out, her nipples are hard or whatever. And you comment, right? She's 21. You know what I mean? Like, right. To us, that's a fucking, you know, that's a bad thing. That's like a pedophile, even though it's not. You know what I mean? Like, we shouldn't be commenting.
It's a dollar store pedophile.
Yeah, that's, I mean, my buddy's a comic. He's 63, and I see that he goes and adds, like, every girl that I have. So you'll start seeing comments. I'm like, how the fuck do you know Dougie? Like, oh, well, he was friends with you and he must have added me. And it's like, yeah, because this dude's a fucking pedophile. He's looking at all your, you know, that was the thing of the pictures. Like, I'd written that bit about the beach, a day at the beach on Facebook.
Right.
You're like, fucking day at the beach. You go through the girl's album, it's her and her kid. You're like, what the fuck is this? You think it's going to be her? Yeah, she's got a one piece. Dude, Dougie, that's funny. Dude, I can use that as a tag.
Got it.
She's got a robe.
It's a writer's meeting all of a sudden. You know, I just watched a bit of it, and you're right. I kind of on Brian's side. Seems that there's some sort of force that's trying to get us all to, you know, eventually sin gets to the youngest. That's what happens when sin really tampers into the youth. You can grow old and be, you know, sinful because you just say, ah, fuck it. But
just to forgive them ahead of time. That's what I'm saying.
Right.
Like, you know what I mean? Plant the seed that is, hey, good. They're 12. They're going to be women soon. And you're like, wait, whoa. You know what I mean?
Rushing it. Like, why not rush it, ladies? Let's worry about this and do that. You know, and the thing that I just struck me is in the Me Too movement, why are we exploring the sexualism of women? You know what I mean? Are we in a day and age where we're trying to discover the mental, the brains, the leadership, and all these other great things of women other than their tits and ass? Aren't we supposed to be like recognizing the finer points of women?
Aside from their
long, beautiful, sexy legs that you like to suck on their toes. Forget about that shit.
No, exactly.
You know what I mean? Let's Me Too, baby. There's another great show on Netflix that's getting some press, The Social Dilemma, which basically says Facebook is the Antichrist and social media. And I said this on the show, and I got to pull it from the archives, but I said this about 2 years ago, that the only way that we will survive as a society is if we get off social media. If you want to have a quarantine, what this country needs is a 24-month 12-month, 6-month, God rest, whatever we can do. Everybody unplug from social media. Read your paper. Go outside. Talk to your neighbors. 6 feet apart.
It's so true because if you haven't seen that documentary, they're showing. So if you lean a little bit left or a little bit right, and you like something, the next thing up is something a little more left and a little more left and a little more left. but Dougie's getting his, and it's a little more right. It's a little more right. And then we started here. We were like, eh, some of our ideas are kind of like this. And now we're here and we can't talk because you're a lefty and you're a, you know, racist. Like, whoa, 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 wait a minute. I was talking about how the government spends the money here. Why are we having personal attacks at Thanksgiving? You know what I mean?
Exactly.
That's the most incredible thing. I mean, think about how many, there's countless people that are talking about how many friends, family members, business relationships that have been completely ruined.
Oh yeah.
Because of people expressing their ideology, on social media.
Okay. So
it starts there.
Steve McGrew, you know, Steve McGrew.
Yeah.
Steve McGrew, Brian, one of the best comedians around. He's literally ruined his career because of his Trump love. I mean, bro, he did Brad Garrett's Comedy Club all the time, flying in from Denver Comedy Works. I mean, he should have been a humongous star. The Trump belief on Facebook has been, dude, Brad Garrett's like, he's fucking banned. He's never coming. I mean, it's been insane what he did to his career in these 4 years because of Trump. I mean, he's an amazing stand-up comedian, man.
I wish they wouldn't put a face or a name or anything with it and be like, this is what I want to get done, you know, on a one sheet. You know when you got to have a one sheet that says, you know, all the good shit about you? Right. Here's that. Here's the other candidate. You can campaign for 3 months. You can't mention the other person's name. Just tell us the stuff you want to do. Nothing about your personality and your who you dated and all this other shit. It's like, we've gotten so far away from actual policy and so much about identity and, oh, Sleepy Joe this and racist that. It's like, oh my God, what are you going to do? Like, they've gone this whole time. It's almost November. Nobody said a single thing about what they're going to do in the next 4 years.
Let me tell you something, dude. We were doomed when that Ronco came out with that name labeler. Remember, we used to be able to go like this, click, 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 and you go, coffee cup. And then you go click, 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 click. Doug's toothbrush. Click, click. The minute we got into this labeling to necessitate what it was we do and to make excuse, it's just like watching something and making excuses for actions. It's a labeling. It's amazing. You know, somebody on Twitter said something in response to me. They said, well, you're this. You know, who gives a shit? You're a comic. Who would care about your opinion, this and that? I'm like, well, I hope we don't care about your opinion when you judge somebody's social media presence. You know, of who they really are. So it's an ugly thing. It's an ugly world. And this is why it's ugly, because pretty much this year with everything going on, Halloween has been canceled.
That's it.
You know, you know, it's so funny. I wrote that joke. I said, and that's the only day this year that everyone will wear the mask. it's like the only time I can use the joke.
Yeah.
But I wrote it. I didn't get to do it yet, but I wrote it the other day. I was like, fucking, I'm doing it. Let me
tell you, it's good to have it. I recently hosted a show and I didn't really have any new, that like it was cleaner, so I didn't have any newer material to just throw out for the first few minutes. And it's good when the PA system works well. You're right. But no, you know, but everybody, that's the funny thing. You're going to be sitting there on Halloween, dude, and like, oh, look, it's a zombie with a mask.
Yeah.
Oh, look, it's a pirate with a mask.
Look, that's great. It's
a ghost with a mask. Somebody tell the ghost, I don't think he should wear a mask.
Canceled at my house, boys.
I was at the gym, believe it or not. And I was doing the bike in this gymnasium setting. They put the bikes to space out stuff where they used to play basketball. There's nobody in the room with me, and this lady comes walking, this Kathy, I guess we'll call her a Kathy, walks by, and I didn't have the mask on, but what I did is I had a hat, and I had my towel, what I use, and I kind of put it over me, like a beekeeper kind of look. You know what I mean? I just had it over me, and there's no one around, and this lady has this guy come up to me and say, put on your mask. The chip. I'm like, dude, there's not a person 1,000 miles from, you know, 1,000 feet from me.
Right.
So no Halloween. Listen, I don't have any kids, and I, because I've been kicked in the balls 78 times. Do you have any kids, Jimmy?
No, kitty cats. I have my kitty cats.
And now, Brian, how old's your daughter now?
My daughter's 1. My stepdaughter's 13. My stepson's going on 11. And it's not canceled at my house. we have a horseshoe driveway, and I'm going to say, put down your fucking window, and I'm going to fucking drive by and just whip them right in the window. It's not canceled at this house.
Yeah, well, good, man. I did some trick or treating. Were you a big trick or treater?
Hell yeah,
I'm not lying. Me and my thug friends I grew up with, we tricked at least till 21. I fucking trick or treated. I fucking love trick or treating, you know. And that was the thing. It was like you'd have the full outfit, and then by that day, you're just you're the football fucking. Yeah, you know what I mean? Like it was. They're like, what is this? But my dad, he used to break the guy's balls. So it's not a bit. But he used to break the guy's balls. And he'd be like, to the little kids, literally, what are you? What are you? Like, and the kids just like, I'm Spider-Man. He's like, is there a Superman? You get two Snickers if there's a Superman in the bunch. Like, he would break their little balls. It was funny.
That is funny. yeah, some of the kids, you know, you're 21. You're like, what are you? Huh? I'm a grown man. I'm 16, but I'm playing a grown man. How do I look? that's great. Here's another little trend. Maybe we'll do one, by the way, when we all go on to get together and hang out. They have these paint gun wars now out in the streets, out in public. I don't know if you've seen this. It is a new fad that may hit your town. Basically, these teams of paintball fighters are going out in the streets, and they are attacking or fighting amongst themselves and also attacking innocent bystanders. I don't know if you guys ever seen this story, but if you're walking down the street and these guys come running the helmets with paintballs and you're carrying a Glock on you, and that guy points that thing, I can tell you, I'm going to pull my Glock out and put a bullet in the guy's paintball chest. So,
wait a second. I got questions here.
Yeah.
These are kids that are paintballing each other?
The ages were not really disclosed. Some of that they look like they're teenagers, you know what I mean? Young, youthful, anywhere between 15 to 25, 30 even, you know. These are, you know.
I mean, in the climate we're in, if you want to raise some hell, I'm all about it, but maybe don't look like somebody who's, you know, coming to snatch you up and stuff you in the back of a Sprinter van. You know what I mean? At least have like a little flag that says paintball club or something so that we know.
Yeah. It's like when you go diving, you put that flag out there to let the boaters know you're down there underwater.
Also, have you ever been hit by a paintball, either one of you guys?
Yeah. I did that team shit.
I got hit right here.
Oh, right.
Dude, I mean, I came up, you know, like to go get this guy and got hit right here. It was the last time I ever paintballed again. I mean, I thought I died. Like it was brutal. Like I remember like shooting girls, like they'd have shorty shorts on. This is so many years ago because I was never did it because I was scared. But shooting, bam, and they get like a welt on their leg, like in their shorty shorts, you know.
Shorty shorts. What are you, fucking Dean Martin?
Hey.
I just hope it doesn't happen. And God bless the people over there where you at, dude, the fires. Somebody posted something on Facebook. Is that why do the fires stop in Canada? And I just thought it was because we're only doing a map of the United States of fires. You know, I didn't know what that was all about. But I didn't really do any research before the show. But I didn't know if there are any wildfires now in Canada. But man, you're in it. You're in that part of the world, dude. And it is not. It does not look good. There's a conspiracy theory that say they're being purposely set for the purposes of aid and government aid and federal aid to the state because it's completely broke, California. Mm-hmm. And people are moving out of that state, and it is an exodus. I've heard from people who live there. They're like, there's moving trucks up and down the streets every day. So it's got to be. I don't know if you see that in your neck of the woods.
Yeah. Well, no. I mean, Rogan just moved. Diaz just moved. I think Theo Von is going to Nashville. I mean, I'm looking to possibly go if my wife can continue just working from home. I'm looking to just chill in Palm Springs, just get like a great place in Palm Springs and just chill. That's what we've been looking. But I've been looking like every day, like, because there's no need to live. I mean, knock on wood, my resume is good enough where I can just do self-tape auditions and book. You know, like I got a recurring role on a fucking Lethal Weapon before COVID. You know, I mean, you know, that was through a self-tape. Like, right. I don't have to be going to the audition rooms. They used to... That was the thing, and they always wanted to do this. They wanted to get rid of the audition rooms anyways and just do self-tapes. So they started doing EcoCast and all that stuff. So, you know, I got my agents in Atlanta, New Orleans. Plus, I do tons of voiceovers. So that's all. I literally don't need to leave the house, bro. I'm not lying. The only reason I've left the house is to go to bring my kittens. When I got my kittens in May. Yeah. Like every few weeks I had to bring them to the vets for their little shots or something. That's it. I don't go.
So like, you're a California guy. Yeah, that's it. You're staying. You ain't running away. You ain't pushing out. You're staying in town.
I'm going to stay in town, but I'm not going to stay right. You know, I live right here in Sherman Oaks, Studio City, that whole area, which is the best part of the Valley. That's the best part you want to live in. You can get anywhere. The highways, you know, the Improv's 10 minutes from my house. The Ha Ha Comedy Club's great. It's right down the street. Yeah. Laugh Factory's 10 minutes. You know what I mean? That's the best. Right.
I'm moving to North Carolina, so I got to find all the local clubs in my new town.
Like Comedy Zone. And I think the owner or manager just Facebooked me, Caroline Comedy Club. Did you do that one yet?
Well, there's the Carolina Comedy Club.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, but I do the I do Comedy Cabana, which is in Myrtle Beach.
Oh yeah. That's so
she doesn't want you doing both.
That's awesome. Yeah, they've been doing that for years.
Our last little topic of discussion, which was that moment of the Thursday night football when the fans booed the sign of unity. And are you a football fan, Brian?
Yeah, of course.
No. By the way, Cam Newton looks great for you. Obviously, you're a Patriots fan, right?
Tom who?
it's got to be like one of those moments where you're upset because you break up with your girlfriend because she was real hot, and all of a sudden you find a hotter girlfriend. And you're like, you know,
it's like your ex girlfriend dies a slow death.
Yeah.
So what, Tom? You're saying Tom Brady is the Cam Newton's the new?
Oh yeah,
Tom Brady.
Yeah, I mean. One game, but Tom didn't have a great game that day in Tampa Bay or against the Saints, but who would? But I saw that. I watched that live, that the moment of unity, and right. I was like, you know, I'm pretty middle of the road, so I'm like so pro law enforcement, but also believe we need a ton of change and don't like seeing bad shit happen to good people, obviously, in the black community either. But when it wasn't about the flag and it wasn't about, they just locked arms for a second and people are like, no unity at all. It's like, okay, well, now we're on the verge of it here. You know what I mean? This is
you know, especially from the news in the last couple of days where those cops were ambushed. That is a moment. Most people, that is almost like the moment, like, I don't even want to say it doesn't have the same power, I think, but that moment where they're in, I don't know if it's Saigon or where the Asian country where they shoot that guy's brains out in the middle of the street. You know, when people start seeing this type of imagery of a kid, to me, it looks like a woman running. It doesn't look like a man.
It looks like a woman.
Yeah. I think it's a woman. I don't know why they're saying they're looking for a guy. I think it's a woman dressed up in a man's sweatsuit or whatever the fuck
it was. He's short too.
Yeah. It looks like a 15, 14 year old girl to me, 16 something. And goes and shoots. Officer, you know, you could say, like, you know, I'm pro police. Listen, I have no police. I've trained police. I work, you know, I respect the fact that somebody makes that decision. You know, when you make a decision to be an officer, that's like the same decision, like if you're going to be a carpenter or a plumber or, you know, it's something, you know what I mean? Doctor's easy, lawyer's easy, but you say you want to be a cop or a soldier or something like that, or a school teacher, those same types of level of service, you know what I mean? That you're committing your life to it, balls to the wall. There's a level of respect that you got to hold. And for that to happen on and be filmed, it raises the blood of the hoople heads on all sides. And things aren't getting any easier. And that's why I'm packing. That's why, you know, staying home, you know, and avoiding and not dealing with dealing with unnecessary risk. You know, I don't, I'm not going to go to Haagen-Dazs at two in the morning. I'm getting Haagen-Dazs at two in the morning one night. You know, I got to go to the local store to get some Haagen-Dazs because I'm hungry. Actually, you know, I'm sitting there and somebody walks in and starts firing off.
That happened to me once. I was at a Wendy's in West Palm, and I left. And as I left, somebody went into the Wendy's and shot every person in there. And I was like, by then I was probably not even half of a mile down the street.
Unbelievable.
So that shit happens. But I do think that, like, I just think that the NFL is so, they're so greedy for, like, they're such pandering.
They're all pandering, dude.
It's like, how about take some money and get some DAs elected that will actually, you know, throw some charges at the bad cops, you know, get some used instead of just paint shit on your helmet. Let's make some real fucking change if that's what we need.
That would be a good thing. Hey, funding, all types of funding for the defense funding, right? Defense fund, you know what I mean? For all the people that don't have good attorneys, because that is a problem. When you, anybody, I don't care who you are, if you don't have the money to get a good attorney, it doesn't matter how right or wrong you are in the situation.
Let me tell you a quick story. So in Boston, we had some pretty, pretty peaceful protests. There wasn't a ton of cars flipping over and shit on fire. Okay. But
that only happens where the Hulk is.
So I'm posting all this shit, you know, like I'm like posting, trying to, you know, bring people together. I'm such a pussy. I'm trying to bring everyone to, you know, let's not fight. And my buddy, who's a person of color, was like, dude, all you're doing is posting quirky shit on your Facebook. You're not doing anything to help. I go, well, what can I actually do? And he goes, whether you believe in the movement or not, it costs more money to have people in jail than it does to bail them and then have them go to court. So there's this bail fund, right? So I go, you know what? That's what I can do. I can use my money in a way that I believe that helps both sides. I put the money towards the bail fund, and I'm like, hey, felt good, went to sleep. Guess what they did with that bail fund money? They started bailing out pedophiles. I'm like, whoa, 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 what happened to the dude that was jumping on the cop car? I want to bail that guy out.
By the way, speaking of that, have you seen the video of the Black Lives Matter kid, white kid, by the way, who jumped on the state trooper's car? You haven't seen that video in the last day?
I saw the meme of him going flying.
Kid jumps on. He's like, you know, he's trying to impress some chick. You know, he's really doing that because he wants to be that guy so that later on at the tent, when they're all hanging out, he goes, you know, hey, you know, he goes over to the fat chick with purple hair. You know, I never had a blowjob under a tree. you know, that's what he's going for. And then he jumps onto the hood. He's committed. He's like, this is, yeah, I'm the man. And then he goes, the cops, the state trooper, because state troopers aren't like cops.
Oh,
state
yeah.
Troopers are like almost U.S. Marshals in a sense. Yeah. They don't fucking play. They pick up, those people pick, like, shovel people off the street that are dead. Like, those people see hell a few days a week.
Mm-hmm.
So they don't want to see you fucking jumping your Disney ass on my fucking hood. But then he guns it and the guy eats it on the, he bumbles over the fucking, you know, the lights, gets crushed, his balls get crushed, and then he rolls off the back of the car and they all run to him. Are you okay, Billy? Great moment.
Oh, he watches this shit. He won't jerk off to cuties, but he'll fucking watch those videos.
Yeah, you can catch me
watching all these YouTube.
he won't get aroused by cuties, but if you see a liberal flying through the air off the back of
my God,
boing. I just think there needs to be some there needs to be some changes, man. They are not imagining this shit. It's happening.
There is, but you know, the thing is the idea, you know, the utopian idea is great, but to say to end racism, it's not gonna, you gotta just end ignorance. That, you know, because, you know, race, ignorance can be around if there isn't racism. But racism can't exist if there's no ignorance. So that's what you're really looking at doing. You're really trying to get rid of ignorance, like people that just think stupid fucking things for stupid reasons.
Good luck.
Well, that's what I'm saying. You're never going to change that, but you got to figure out a way to punish, right? And aid, you know, for somebody gets arrested. But at the same time, you can't have people arguing with police every fucking moment, because that's what the thing is to do. By the way, we do have a word of the day here because we try to get on PBS.
Racism.
Oddly enough.
Cuties. Cute racism.
Is cavil. A cavil. A cavil. Sorry. Cavil. To raise. Cavil. C-A-V-I-L. to my English majors, Cavill. To raise irritating and trivial objections, find fault with unnecessarily, like, you know, like somebody who's, you know, you just crushed the guy, you did all right. So are they being Cavill?
Oh, that's a good word.
I think
like
so.
Like cavalier. It's like cavalier.
Right.
Yeah. Well, this is opposite. Cavalier means you're being what? Like almost like the, like debonair, like you're just being uppity and, you know, like all.
When you're cavalier about something, like you're like, yeah, whatever, you blow it off. So maybe
yeah, you throw it away.
Okay. I'm not an English Marine. I never went to college.
I mean, dude, you know.
I thought those were books behind you, Brian.
Dude, that's Count Chocula, bro.
That's a wishbone dog biscuit. This is guy.
I'm thinking Brian's like a genius. He's got all these books behind him as he's reading.
You know, I had Encyclopedia Britannica back there.
He's a fucking serial fucking lawyer. That's what he is.
All right. Well, that's our word of the day, guys. And by the way, with that being said, we start now with our new segment called Make It Funny, where our guests compete at punching up our news segment and challenging it to make it funny. That's right. What happens when it's funny? Yay. Yeah, thank you. Shut the fuck up. All right. That's what happens when you get a couple buttons on your computer. Are you guys ready to play? I mean, you guys, now all it is basically you guys will hear stories. You're all comedians. So you hear a story, just like a writer's meeting. Like I like to do this in writer's meetings where you just bring up stories, you know, mm-hmm. and then try to find something in it. With that being said, our first story today, gentlemen, is I'm locked in my computer. Here we go. Topless Tennessee woman charged with public intoxication after chewing a miniature horse's mane. So I just think it's funny that there's two things in a room that you normally don't see, a miniature horse and a topless woman.
Unless it's in a chat room. Mm.
And that's why she's banned from every Kmart across the country.
She's a Kmart shop.
No, the little horse in the middle, in the front of it. She bit a real mane of a little horse, or yeah. like this, like teeny. I mean, a real horse.
Yeah, real miniature horse. It wasn't like the roundabout horse, you know, the little carousel. It's a real horse, and that's what I'm saying. I'm wondering if she took the shirt off once she saw the horse, because that does happen to some women. Yeah, you know, when the minute a woman sees a horse, they get, you know, there's something about horses. It says in Jacksboro, Tennessee, an inebriated topless Tennessee woman who chewed on the mane of a miniature horse and told the authorities it was made of Laffy Taffy was charged with public intoxication and some nice tits.
Okay, she was not drunk. Okay, I've been as drunk as you can get. I've been whatever the most drunk you can be. I've been that. Yeah. I've never gone into a little stable and like a mini horse. Let me chew on that thing. That's drugs.
Yeah,
that's meth.
Yes,
that is meth. That is
opiates. You know, this just reminds me of you guys. Did you guys ever like did you have a girlfriend? Did you ever have a woman in a sense that was like a freak, or like in a sense crazy? You know what I mean? Like you ever have one of those girls like. Like I was dating this girl one time. She was hot as balls. I met her at the gym.
Beautiful. He looked back to see if this girl was there.
Yeah.
I know, dude. You know what? I just glanced over to see if my wife. You know, I actually have a crazy one from New York that lives in Florida now. Just freak. You couldn't put enough in her vagina, like just or her ass. You know, like so that's as freaky as you get.
Wow. No, I meant like, oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, not just sexy, freaky, but like do weird shit. Like this girl was hot. First night I'm bringing her back to my place. We go out and drink. Next thing you know, we're sitting there and where is she in the car? She's sitting there squatting, pissing.
In the car?
Next to the car.
Next to the car. She's taking a piss. Yeah.
So I'm like, but she's hot. I'm like, all right, I won't tell anybody about this until I'm on a podcast in 40 years.
Right.
And then I'm thinking, okay, I can tolerate this. Then all of a sudden, what happens?
She shits.
She takes a shit.
Yeah. And I just, right there, dude, shut the car door.
You wasted it. You wasted it. could have gone on my chest.
I left.
But her. how were her tits? Were they as nice as the Tennessee woman with the minute? Where's the miniature horse when you need it, Dougie?
I know. There you go.
I'm the same woman.
How am I not getting a laugh track here? Motherfucker. Brad, you cocksucker. I get nothing on that.
Well, yeah. There we go. Our next story. My only addiction is women.
Yes.
Who do you think said that? Who do you think said that?
Every man ever.
Any guy with balls. My only addiction is women. Four times married El Chapo reveals he's fathered 23 children.
See, this isn't funny, but I got questions here too.
Yeah.
do those women get to keep any of that cocaine money?
I wonder if that's how he pays, like, the child support. Here, five bags.
Yeah.
You know,
you get
two kilos.
You get a kilo to put that kid through private school.
Yeah.
Make it last.
Yeah, that is the 529 plan of El Chapo. He actually he gives you three or four corners in Mexico.
Yeah.
How many of those women were consensual? That's what I'd like to know.
It says here, Joaquin El Chapo Guzman admitted that only addiction he has ever suffered from was women. Okay, El Chapo. And that he was the father of 23 children, I think.
Wait a minute.
He's Latino. Addiction. This is a fucking lie, Dougie.
He said the only
23 children is like a dot on the ocean.
He said the only addiction he suffered from was women.
Yeah.
All the other ones he didn't suffer. They went
I like them. Those are fine. I enjoy them, you know, like the cocaine and the freebasing. The revelations were made during an interview we recently put out.
Speaking of El Chapo, what are you, Puerto Rican? What are you, Dougie?
How dare you? I'm Spaniard and Portuguese.
Oh, okay. Okay.
So we kind of got olive oil in our blood.
Okay. All right. Sounds good.
Yeah. I was going to say Italian or something.
Everybody thinks I'm Italian because I usually pull up my Z2080 and pizza.
Yeah. We used to say IROC in New York. We said Italian retard out cruising.
Yeah.
We just have all the names for the guys.
I had a guy one time in Wichita, the loony bin, this guy says, "You're racist." I'm like, why? He goes, "Because you asked me if I was Chinese." You know, this kid, what are you? He's like, I'm whatever. And I'm like, well, we got a problem with the Chinese? He's like, yeah, I don't like the Chinese. I'm like, well, fuck, then you know that's why you're mad about me asking.
Yeah.
I go, people always ask me if I'm Italian. I don't get pissed and throw a cannoli at them. how dare you? But here's the thing, you know, I don't know why anybody's surprised he has 23 kids, like Jimmy says. He's Hispanic. And second of all, you know, this guy knows how to get people over the wall, under the wall. He could definitely figure out how to get a sperm into one little egg. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That's the madness. That's how he has kids. He could send people into this country anytime he wants. That's my entry into the joke contest. Our next story. Now, this is in Florida. Deputy finds reported alligator, because we got a lot of alligators around here. And I was a swamp kid when I was a kid and teenager. We used to go hunting snakes and shit. So I never had, we used to fuck with alligators. You know what I mean? We knew how to keep our
distance. Used to fuck alligators. Oh,
hey. But I wasn't fucking a real alligator. It was just a pool floaty.
It was just a wallet. Yeah. I fucked a wallet once.
That's it. Deputy finds reported alligator in a storage shed was pool floaty. Imagine that. September 9th, a Florida sheriff's deputy responded to a home on a report of an alligator in a storage shed. It's discovered that the apparent reptile actually was an inflatable pool toy.
Did you pull that thing up? You see how realistic that fucking thing is?
I was just saying, you know, I mean, if the lights were down a little bit, it can, you know, you couldn't blame anybody.
It's not a stupid, you know, like, it looks like an actual alligator.
It doesn't look like a green Gumby. You know, like people think it's just floating. Well,
how come I'm not seeing this? Where are you guys?
It's in the lake.
We're not that special yet. We don't have that type of special effects on the Wake Up Late with Dougie show.
No, I got to see fucking Bugs Bunny. I can't see an alligator over here.
It is the best photo we could get of Brad, by the way. You're right. It is. It is. It's like it looks pretty real, and it scares the shit out of people. I can tell you that. Our last story, by the way, speaking again of Halloween, I guess it's not canceled for somebody, everybody, but artists selling Karen Halloween masks. Yes. Calls them the scariest thing you can be is a Karen this Halloween.
Wow.
How many people are going to wear a Karen mask?
Who hates Karens the most? Probably waitresses, right?
Waitresses?
Yeah, Karens are mostly... Isn't a Karen somebody who just like sends their food back and shit? What is that?
Somebody who's a pain in the ass or getting involved with everybody else.
They bother you like if you're a Costco and you don't wear your mask or you're too close to them. They're like 6 feet. You
know, like let me speak to the manager type.
Yeah, thing. They're like a tattletale. Yeah.
Yeah. I said this the other day. My biggest experience was I was walking my dog down the street, and a lady stopped her car, got out of it, just pulled halfway off the road, University Drive, a major street. And, you know, you need to have your mask on. And I go, you know what? You need to find a better parking spot, dumbass. And because you can get a ticket. I can't. But you know what? I'm in the street. I'm outside. You know, you see these people in the car by themselves with masks. I mean, listen, when you're around people, wear the fucking mask. You know, bottom line is if you're going to get it, you're going to get it. So
I'm going to wear the Karen mask after Halloween.
Yeah, just start yelling at people.
Steer clear of you.
It is an ugly looking mask. If you guys Google it, it is pretty scary. It looks like my sister-in-law.
I'm right on that Karen Googling right now.
I imagine it looks like the lady from John and Kate Plus 8.
Well, that's actually looks like Phyllis Diller, or who's the lady who died, unfortunately?
Joan Rivers.
Yeah, she looks like a version of Joan Rivers. Jesus. I don't know if it's going to come up on there.
Damn. That's not Karen. That's the lady that was chewing on the horse.
That's you can tell by her teeth.
Wake up late with Dougie.
It looks like from what's that movie? Your mother's in here with us, Harris. a fucking scary movie too.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
You know. Yeah. I don't like people like that. Again, I've said the biggest problem is. That we have is that everybody's more worried and interested in what everybody else is doing, and they're not paying attention to what the fuck they're doing. I think we need to do that and get off Facebook, but wait till the show's over.
Yeah.
Actually, this is our last story. This is a great story. You guys like hot dogs?
Yeah. You know, I actually do. I do eat. My wife is Latina. You know, they always add a little something to make it that she makes really good hot dogs. She does. She does, you know, pickled peppers. It's good.
Yeah. It's funny you say that. My wife's Asian. So she makes like eggplant parm, you know, it's still got a little egg roll in it. I don't know. What the fuck it you know, it's still got some lemongrass. Yeah. But I like, what is your, if you get a hot dog, regular hot dog, what are you going to get? What's on it?
So normally you get, you know, well, yeah, I think this is an argument I've had with Boston before. Yeah. Like if we put mayonnaise, sometimes in New York we'll put like a mayonnaise, but look at the face he's making, right? So mayonnaise, I think they do it in Chicago.
That's the right face, by the way.
Yeah, I know. I think they do it in Chicago too. But normally it's going to be ketchup, mustard, and relish, and onions. I put onions.
I can go with that.
I'm actually a fan of the Costco hot dog where you got the trough of onions. You just put them on there.
Yeah, I love Costco. Matter of fact, they built one right near our house now, which is great. And you know, the Costco pizza's got some rave reviews. Although here on the Wake Up Late with Dougie show, you can't say Costco pizza.
Why?
Well, we had like every year I have a party for whoever the co-host, you know, for members of the show, year end party. We've had it at Tavolino's. You know, we've had it in Boca Raton, nice place.
Oh, Tavolino's, I miss. It's the only reason I do shows there for you, so I have to eat.
That place. What was I saying? So one year was like weird, so we thought, let's just have it at the house. And my wife got a bunch of Costco pizza. And everybody was like, what the fuck is this? You know, 1 minute we eat at nice restaurants. What's wrong? What's wrong with the show? But, you know, it's a decent pizza.
My wife is so Brooklyn, she won't even eat. Like Domino's or a Pizza Hut. Like if someone brings it over, she's like, like it's like they puked on the like I'll eat it. But I mean, I'm a huge pizza guy.
Either way, right? Pizza could be all kinds. If you're gonna,
during this quarantine, I've been making phenomenal pizzas. I post them all the time. People,
oh, yeah,
yeah.
Pages. We almost opened a restaurant called Almeida Tomatoes Pizza.
Almeida Tomatoes.
And if you're gonna have to eat a fast food pizza, what would be your first choice?
What's the one they have like in the airport? It's that one where you, it's almost like a buffet. You walk through and you grab the pizza.
CC's?
Yeah, it might be a CC's.
No, not here.
No, it might be Pizza Hut. I'm not for sure what it is. But it's like a little teeny pizza. You can grab it and then you grab like a chicken or a burger. It's almost like a buffet. They're in a lot of airports. Like
Sbarro's. They used to have Sbarro's. But
it might could be a Sbarro. And you just grab, you know, like you just, it's shaped like a slice. You know,
is that a slice? It.
Yes. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Grab the slice. Okay, Trump. by the way, it says here that Sbarro's went out of business a few years ago because they had shitty pizza.
Sbarro's really went out of business. I mean,
yeah, they went back a few years ago. I like a hot dog with, like you said, ketchup, a little mustard, and I love sauerkraut. I love a sauerkraut hot dog. I can eat it with onions, chili, all that shit.
Oh, a sauerkraut arrest. Yeah.
I love sauerkraut. But you know the Weenie Mobile, the Oscar Mayer Weenie Mobile?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Well, you can now rent the Weenie Mobile for free to propose to the woman you love, or man, or woman, or woman, or man, or, you know, her, that, them, or they. You can, you can rent it out for free if you're going to get married.
And do what with it?
Ram it right up. Put the ring around it. I know, like the significance of the Wiener Mobile to propose.
Think about how cool it would be just to drive the Wiener. I remember seeing it and going, I wish I could just like fucking steal that or drive the Wiener Mobile. Like back in the day, I remember seeing that. I'll
take it to my bachelor party, not to the wedding.
Or the ice cream truck. How about driving the ice cream truck? How cool, how popular would you be if you had the ice cream just driving out? Bling,
bling. I think you're onto something, dude. That could be like a business, right? No, we're not going to get an ice cream truck, so we'll drive around and sell ice cream. We want you to have the experience.
Yeah.
Yeah, but then the problems could be like the Boy Scouts. There'd be a bunch of pedophiles.
Yeah.
You know, next thing you know, and then, of course, Brian will be funding it. touche. So if you want to rent it, you can get it, and good luck if you do. Well, gentlemen, we're going to close the show here, but we're all comics, and I want to wish you guys well. And Jimmy, like you said, you haven't been working. You do the cruise ships, obviously cruise. You know, that's an interesting industry because there's a lot of things that people may or may not do. I mean, there's cruising is a cult. You know, the people that cruise are just, they'll do it no matter what. They don't give a shit. Mm-hmm. You know, they don't, people were cruising after people were shitting out, you know, their bowels, you know, with these viruses and stuff on a boat. Are you a cruise guy, Brian? Do you like cruises?
I've been on some cruises, but I don't know how quick I'm going to rush to go back. But that's more because my wife doesn't like them. She's like, can we just go sit in one spot? Do we have to go change every single day? Like, yeah, that's sort of the point.
Yeah, but it's so funny because you say that, because the best part for me for a cruise, so I'll be 50 next year, right? So we were going on Viking cruises. Have you ever heard of it? It's like most luxury. It's the most amazing cruise you can go on, right? And we were all planned to go. And then also I'm a huge, Brian, you don't know, but I'm a huge poker player. Like celebrity poker tournaments. I play all the time. I'm in everything. And I just, they gave me like Norwegian in January. I got a free cruise in May because I work for Carnival. But my wife, she just had me cancel. She's like, let's just cancel. She goes, I'm not doing, I mean, they actually canceled May, but this January coming, and then May for next year. And she's like, I don't want to go on a cruise. And she's like, we're going to have to see about your birthday, you know, because I don't know what the fuck is going to happen.
It kind of blows. It's my wife's 50th birthday this year. Sorry, I told everybody, honey. You know, we were supposed to go on an anniversary cruise to Alaska this summer. That was obviously canceled. And then we had, you know, her and her good friend, this chick called Bill. they're going to celebrate and go on a cruise, but none of that. So we're going to have a little party here at the house and celebrate her 50th birthday. Well, this kind of felt like a 50th birthday, fellas. It's glad to have you both here. Jimmy DeLavalle.
That's a good question.
Yes.
Jimmy, do you know a guy named that works for Carnival named Percy Cruz? He used to work for Carnival.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. I just met him on a Zoom the other day.
So I was on a cruise when I was probably 18 years old, mm-hmm. and I saw him. He was the comic on the ship, and that mm-hmm. was the first live mm-hmm. comedy I saw, like, as an adult that made me be like, oh, my God, I want to do this.
Yeah.
And I've reached out to him, like, 10 times just because we all, you know, now we all have a million mutual friends. Dude will not respond. But I was like, you're the reason I got into comedy and all this shit. And he's like,
fucking stalker, dude.
So I just
he heard about your pedophilia funding.
You guys, have you guys ever heard of Billy D. Washington?
Yes.
So Billy D. is a great comic buddy of mine that lives in Texas. So he, they contacted me and Lewis Johnson. Lewis Johnson been around a long time. Black, all black. They did a comedy tour called the Sellout Tour, which was all black comics, which was not like Def Jam. It was just, it wasn't like they're selling out as black people. They was like really smart. And the comedian BT, they were all on it, right? And they, and, me and Lewis hit me up the other day. He's like, dude, I'm doing a Zoom with fucking like major comics. He's like, I definitely want to have you on. So I was on, and it was me, Percy, and Lewis the other day. And Percy was cool as fuck. So I'm going to tell him that you are the reason. I'm going to add you as a friend, right? I'm going to go, the reason this dude does comedy is because of you. Now, dude, he's not my best friend. I've only met him through Zoom, but he fucking loved me. Like, they already asked me. We had a really good Zoom, and he's like, I want you guys back. Like, and I think he booked us, like, in a month or so. But it's a really amazing Zoom.
Yeah, cool. Awesome. Yeah.
That's so funny you mentioned Percy Cruz. But, dude, listen, you guys are – well, you're not – Florida, Tony Esposito, Neary Sainz, are you near Miami, Dougie?
Yeah, about 30, 40 minutes north of Miami.
So you know Neary, you know, and Ricky, you know Ricky Cruz? Ricky's my boy, too.
Yeah, Ricky's a good dude, yeah. I've known Ricky a long time.
We came up together in New York City as comics. Yeah.
Yeah, Miami, you know, there's places open here and stuff. And, you know, that's the one thing as I'm planning on moving, because the scene here is pretty cool. And especially now with everything happening, New York, you know, in L.A., a lot of comics are coming here because there's places open. There's places you can get on stage.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's a lot of people that are dying to do it. And, you know, that's one of the things I worried. I mean, North Carolina's got a lot of comedy places, but, you know, I just thought, man, I know so much here. I'm part of it, you know, the scene down here, been around, and to walk away from it, you know?
No, dude, all those guys, when they first moved here, I directed a commercial with Orlando Leyba.
Yeah. He's crushing it, Orlando.
What the fuck's the other one? The one who talks like this, he's got the Forrest Shaw.
Forrest Shaw, yeah.
And Dave Williamson. Dave Williamson. So anyways, those all great Florida dudes. And my boy Flip Schultz just moved back.
Yeah, he just came back to Florida.
I love Flip.
Yeah.
Good, great dude.
Yeah.
Great guy, like funny as fuck. Like he's one of the nicest fucking people.
Well, we've known each other, me and Flip, since chat rooms, AOL chat rooms, since we were like kids almost. It's pretty insane.
Back to Florida?
Yeah, he just moved back like a week ago.
Yeah, last week or so, yeah.
But Brian, so my comedy special is called Famous Nobody because Patrice O'Neill used to go, you're the most famous nobody everybody knows. That's what he used to tell me.
That's
so I gave him I did a dry bar special. I don't know if you did a dry bar, but what a great thing to do. The great.
That is a great. By the way, they now have gone to 20 minutes. So those who are doing dry bar specials are.
Mine is 45.
Yeah. The first ones. But now that the whole new setup now is they're going to get comics to do 20 minutes. And it's great because of the idea of it to do four or five minute segments so they could break it up nicely. So,
but you can't say the F word all over it, Dougie.
Yeah, I know. I can't even say pussy. I can't say hot. I can't say, you know, that's what I'm saying. I'm working on all
Would you guys want to do it? Hit me up because I'm in really, really tight with them. And a lot of guys, because they wanted me to do another one, but I don't think I'm going to do another one. There's no need. Just throw out 20 minutes. You know, my other one went viral. I've got over 5 million, you know, worldwide.
Yeah, it's, yeah, nice.
But anyways, when you go to do them, they're – so, like, if you're getting – grown, you know, Sid Davis.
Yeah,
Sid Davis is a great comic out of like North Carolina or something. His special never came out. He was so upset, and he calls him up, and he goes, man, he goes, and they go, oh, well, you did that one joke that you closed with, and I mean, he killed his whole set, and they go, you did that one joke though, and it was a little offensive to the Mormon, you know, and it was about him and his wife. It had nothing to do with the Mormons or. And it was just like a clever bait and switch joke. Right. And it didn't. And he calls him up and he goes, hey, I'll do another special. You don't have to pay me. I'll just do a pro bono because I want the thing. But once you're out, like once they say no, you're done. You're never. So there's been, let's just say, example, 200 comics did it. At least 50 to 75 never came out.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
So when you guys go to do it, I'll help you because everyone I've helped has their specials come out right away.
Oh, good. I work on material. But that's, guys, I'm going to go back and work on my material. Brian, you've got a family to take care of. I want to thank you for joining us today, brother, and good to see you. And if you're ever down in Florida, let me know. I do have a weekend, once the things start down, a weekend in Isle Mirada, which is the first month of the year, the first weekend of the month, sorry. Hopefully starting by the end of the year, if not beginning of 2021, Friday, Saturday night.
What's the
champion?
Yeah, I'll get you guys that. And other than that, anything you guys want to plug? Jimmy Delavalle, anything you want to?
My sitcom is doing real well. It stars me and Bobby Costanzo on Amazon Prime. Has 5-star reviews. It's called Not For Nothing. And I also just booked another series called Single Broke Dad. And we're gonna be shooting that in November, so that should probably be on Hulu. It'll be on some streaming service.
Brian, my friend,
just my podcast, Cantankerous Podcast, and my website, beglowcomedy.com.
There you go, guys. Other than that, you can follow me at Dougie Dangerous on Instagram and on Twitter. Thanks for following us. We'll be back next week. I got a great show. I think you mentioned Brian Scalaro. He'll be on the show next week.
Is he going to be on?
Yeah, I think so.
Dude, you got to ask him about that thing, you know, because Brian's a great comic. Like I said, it's not like I said nothing bad about him. He was just like, you know. And that's
one of those moments. And Steve Marshall will be on next week with him as well. So
Steve, tell him Jimmy D says hi. I love Steve.
And if you like Steve, Steve takes people for walks down the Manhattan, Greenwich Village area.
That's his new thing, yeah.
That's his new thing. It's fun to watch
him. Is he the guy that does Tai Chi before he goes on stage? He would have been at Dangerfields a couple.
Yeah. He'll do that.
He does a great joke about this girl from Brooklyn. She was so tough, she cracked her knuckles before she gave me a hand job.
Yes.
Yeah.
Very cool. Nice to meet you, Jimmy.
All right, nice to meet you too, brother.
So great to have you guys on. Thanks again for joining us. God bless. Stay well. And everybody, we'll see you here next week right at the same spot. Take care.
People of the earth, can you hear? zombie. Came a voice from the sky on a magical night.